Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard podcast. We're a real community of people who are passionate about pursuing God and growing in our relationship with Him. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information and other resources, please visit northridge.org.au.
You might have seen on our welcome slide that it said, we're a community of people who are learning the way of Jesus. Now, people have been trying to learn the way of Jesus for the last 2,000 years. And I don't know if you've been learning the way of Jesus or you're interested in learning the way of Jesus, but it's a simple way and it's an incredibly complex way. It's both those things, isn't it? This morning, we're kicking off the year. And I don't know how your entry into the year has been. I think it's been usually when we hit this time of year, people are like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week, etc. There's this spring in people's steps. There are New Year's resolutions. I don't feel that way this year. It feels different this year. In terms of there's a sobriety, right? There's a heaviness. We came back from holidays where we did see the sun a little bit, which was nice. But came back and the southerly hit and. You know, I could smell smoke in the southerly, right? You're lying in bed and the smoke comes through and it's like, wow, this is different. This is different. So, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for gathering us here this morning. We just know that it's not by accident that we're here this morning. We have this bold declaration that you're on your throne. That despite the deep scars, God, on this country now, and the pain through our communities, God, the questions, God, the longing for it all to be over, all of that, God, despite all of that and in all of that, God, we still declare that you are King, and that you have... that you are wonderful good news for your creation. And so I would just pray for us this morning, God, as we gather as a little community this morning, just to take a breath, to refocus, to remember, God. I pray that you'd meet us. God, I pray for each person here this morning, God, that, God, we just open ourselves to you a little bit more, that you'd speak to us where we need your voice, God, that you'd encourage us where we need encouragement, God, and that you'd equip us to go out and just give from the abundance that we've received from you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a scripture on my heart. 2 Corinthians. I don't know if you've got a Bible or need a Bible. There are Bibles up here. If you want one, or if you need to turn your Bible on, or whatever you need to do. Charlie, you want a Bible? Look at you. Go for it. I don't know if anyone else needs it. You want a Bible? Yeah. So, I had a scripture on my heart. So we were praying last night, and it was from 2 Corinthians 4:7. I don't know if you've read 2 Corinthians, it's one of the letters. The New Testament is made up of stories of Jesus' life, records of Jesus' life. And then these letters that were written amongst followers of Jesus immediately in the sort of less than 100 years after Jesus' life, letters to little communities like this that popped up and decided to, let's walk the Jesus way. And these letters are written to these communities, helping them to straighten their thinking out, to encourage them to remember Jesus. And so this is one of these letters written by a guy called Paul, who was tasked by God to take the good news of Jesus to the world. And Paul, you think things are hard for you. Oh, Paul went through the absolute ringer. He doesn't tell us everything, but we can... It's like the letters are kind of like an email thread, right? Like if I threw you parts of an email thread, you'd kind of get some of it, but not all of it, right? And so we don't know how many letters were written between the Corinthian churches and Paul. Maybe four. There are two of them in the Bible. So you've got this kind of conversation between Paul and these people that he dearly loves. And he does share in this letter in 2 Corinthians, he does share a little bit of his of how things had been for him. And he'd been beaten up many times. He'd been whipped many times. He'd been shipwrecked. I don't know how many people have been shipwrecked, but he was at sea for 3 days. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? We went sea kayaking on the holiday and 20 minutes was fine. So he didn't have a kayak and he didn't have one of those beautiful inflation vests. But he's writing about life. And he writes about, he says this in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "We now have this light shining in our hearts." And the light that he's talking about is the, he's had this incredible, he was someone who hated Christians. He oversaw the murder of Christians. He was deeply opposed to Jesus and everything that Jesus stood for. And yet, on the way to murdering more Christians, Jesus met him in person and it turned his whole life around. I don't know if you've ever had a moment where everything that you thought you knew is suddenly shown to be wrong. And suddenly he realized that Jesus wasn't just a prankster or someone that should be shut down, a sect that was distracting people from following God, that Jesus was actually impossibly God in person. God had come and made himself plain in Jesus. And Paul had never had no grid for God ever doing that, but God had done that. And so Paul's whole world changed. And so he said, and this is the light he's talking about, "We now have this light shining in our hearts. Suddenly we know who God is. We didn't. And now we do, and now we can see him clearly. And now that we can see God clearly, our hearts are lit up like a very, very bright light. So now I have this light in my heart." So now we have this light shining in our hearts. "But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." So Paul's like, I have this light, and yet I look at myself, and all I see is frailty. I fail here and here and here and here and here. And this frame, this thing, I mean, you've got to think of Paul. He's probably stooped like this, right? He's had, I think it was 40 lashes minus one or something. He's had that three or four times. So his back would be all ripped up, right? And no, there wasn't. He didn't get stitched up. They would have been ripped up. Maybe they rubbed some salt into it. So he's just scarred like that. And he's been beaten. He's been stoned to death. He walked up. He walked out of it alive, but he's been stoned to death. Like they stoned him to the point where they thought he was dead. He's had that a bunch of times. So you can imagine his cosmetic appeal. Like he's stooped. He's broken. His whole frame is busted up, right? And then he's got all his anxiety and all the pain and disappointment and grief that he's talking about. It's all through his letter. He's carrying all this, so he's stooped. But he's like, I've got this light. I've got this light. But this is frail. This is not how I would like it to be. This frame, this who I am. But I carry this light. And that's the image he has of this clay pot, right? The clay pot is nothing valuable. It's... like, I don't know if you've been there, Ben and Faith, if you've traveled in China, you can go to some places where they give you the meal in the clay pot, right? So they'll serve you the clay pot and they just throw the clay pot away and it just smashes because it's a one-timer. It's just earth, right? Just mixed together, poorly, what's the word? Poorly fired, like a pizza, poorly fired. And then they just chuck it away. And that's the image. It's like this clay pot, right? There's nothing precious here. They had gold. They had precious metals in this day. But no, we're going to use it. But it's a clay pot. It's a clay pot. But in there is a treasure that is infinitely of value because it's the treasure of God in you. That God has not only come close in Jesus, but now he's made his decision by his Spirit to live in you. So you carry the very presence and life of God in you as a follower of Jesus. And so this is the thing that Paul's living with. I'm like this, but I know I carry the mystery and the treasure of the universe in me. How are these things compatible? That's what he's dwelling on, right? And he says, and you know, I don't know how you're doing with your life at the moment. I don't know how you feel. Like, I don't know how your holiday's been. Whether you come out of your holiday, thank you, Jesus, I love this life and I'm just pushing forward. Or whether you're like, I'm actually, that holiday, which was supposed to be a holiday, wasn't a holiday. I'm fundamentally exhausted. And I have no idea what 2020 is going to hold. In fact, I'm not looking forward to it. Just not looking forward to it. It just looks like a whole lot more of 2019, and 2019 wasn't great either. I don't know how you feel. But maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. And maybe you've got your list of, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And I know that none of those things are going to happen in 2020. And you look at yourself and go, I am just disappointed. Disappointed where I'm up to in life. Disappointed in my ability to get my crap together. My inability to get my crap together. I can't do this. And here I am. I don't know how you feel this morning. I'm not trying to beat that into you, but I don't know how you feel. There's a frailty, right? What do we do with the frailty that we carry, right? What do you do with the frailty that you carry? Do you hide it? Do you wallow in it? What does Paul do with the frailty that he carries? Have a look. Have a look at the text. What does Paul do with the frailty that he carries? It says, this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So Paul does this total flip of things in this letter. And he's like, yeah, I see all that. I see all my frailty. I see all the brokenness. And I celebrate it. I celebrate how much I am not who I think I should be, or whatever it is. I just celebrate it because I know that this light in me is real, and actually, through my brokenness, the glory of that light is made more clear. And the image that you could get is, you could almost have like, and this is kind of similar, but not the same. But if you had like a little candle, right, in an earthenware sort of thing, and that earthenware thing had cracks through it, what would the light do? It would come out, would it not? It would come out. There's a brokenness. Can you get, Greg, can you move? Yeah, thanks, mate. Brokenness is at the heart of the gospel. It's at the heart of the gospel. And the question of what you do with your brokenness is at the heart of the gospel. So you've got two choices with brokenness. Your brokenness can lead to your brokenness can lead to openness. Or your brokenness can lead to hiddenness. So I'll explain that. So, Jesus had this meal. So you can turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. It's 8:55 in my Bible, which will not help you at all. Have you got it? You got it? Yeah? Cool. Okay, so you know the context. This is at the end of Jesus' ministry. He's about to die. He's about to die the following day. He knows that. No one else does. And he sits down and he has a meal. And I want you just to look at verse 19. So chapter 22, verse 19. And what it says is that he took some bread. So he took it. Now, bread is incredibly unspecial, right? It's just bread. Everyone had bread. It's your everyday thing, right? There's nothing special about bread. So you might think there's nothing special about you. And there's nothing special about your life. You're just mundane you, doing a very mundane life in a mundane part of the world. That may be how you see yourself. But the thing about this bread, right, is that Jesus took it. There was no special baker that made this bread. It wasn't like, oh, this was made in the holy bakery for the holy king or something like that. It's just bread. It just came from the street. It's just bread. But what made it different was that Jesus took it. He took that bread. And in your life, that's what makes you different. Because Jesus chose you. Said, Lucy, you're mine. So what makes Lucy different and special? Jesus chose her. Was Lucy mundane? Yeah, very. Was Andrew mundane? Absolutely. But what makes Andrew special, what makes Lucy special, is that Jesus chose Lucy. Jesus chose Dave. Jesus chose that man over there. He said, yeah. So that makes you special. Jesus chose him. And then what? Then Jesus, what does he do with the bread? Well, then he blesses the bread. So he gives thanks and he blesses it. So Jesus takes us and then he blesses us. He says, you're mine. But I'm not just going to, I want to bless you. And he blesses us. And when he blesses us, one of the big things that he does when Jesus blesses us is he gives us a different identity. Because before, we were just running around trying to make everyone love us to varying degrees. Some people are very expressive about that. Some people have sort of guerrilla campaigns, but we're all trying to get people to love us. We use different tools, but we're all trying to do it. That was what we're all trying to play. That's kind of the game. But when Jesus grabs us and he blesses us, he changes our identity. He says, you know you're loved because you are, because I love you. And as you let that work into your heart, that starts to settle the issue for you. Might take 43 years. I don't know. I'm still working on it, but it starts to settle the issue for you. Comes in. Starts to silence out those other voices that say, run, 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 run. Settle down. You're loved. So when Jesus blesses you, it changes your identity. And then what does he do? This is the part that's difficult, isn't it? What does he do? Breaks the bread. I personally would like to stop at step one and two. So I'm chosen, so I like that bit, and he blesses me. That sounds great. But then what happens? He breaks us. There's that choice again about what we will do with our brokenness. Because the only thing we have to offer God is our brokenness, right? It's all we have. It's what we bring. And so you got that choice at that point to go towards openness, let your brokenness lead to openness, or let your brokenness lead to hiddenness. And we know the story in the garden, right? Adam's like, I'm hiding. And we know where that went. But then Jesus invites us into a different way, and he says, open. Let your brokenness lead to openness. And once broken, and this is an ongoing process, so think process here. Once broken, see, this the mystery is that the only way we all get to a piece of this bread is if it's broken, right? If it stays like this, no one gets any of it, actually. The only way for this bread to be experienced is that it's broken and broken and broken again. And so God breaks the bread. Jesus breaks the bread, and then he shares each of those pieces, and then everyone has food. And it's the same thing with your life, because it says he broke the bread and then he gave it. Same thing with your life. Jesus breaks us and gives us. That's what he does. That's his purpose. Because if we stay whole, or if we stay how we were, There ain't no love in our hearts. We're just like this. And we're convinced that we're better. I'm better than him. I got all my stuff together. But if we're broken, we turn our orientation and we come together broken to the table, right? Like it's different. So God breaks us so he can give us. And you go, well, how are you ever able to embrace that as being okay? How can you ever go, sure, break me. Sure, give me. How can you ever get to that point when all you want to do is make sure that you're loved, right? How can you ever flip to live a life that is outward focused and not inward focused? How does the human heart ever, is the human heart ever able to actually relinquish our need to be in control and our need to get everything so it works for us? How can we ever release that? Really release that? And the answer is we can't alone. Because what Jesus does in our life, he first let the Father do through him, right? So Jesus is saying, I am the one that the Father chose. I am the one that the Father blessed. And I am the one who has offered himself to be broken, to be given for everyone to have life. And when you understand who God is, that this is this process of being chosen, blessed, broken, given, that's the nature of who God is, then the little human heart can go, okay, maybe it's safe to come out. Maybe I can begin to go towards my life being a life of giving out rather than just taking to ensure that I have what I absolutely desperately feel I need. It's only possible when you first understand the grace of God. So, we're going to experience that, aren't we? Now, do you want to actually go to the next slide? There's a good quote, not the fire slide, the other one. Yeah. There you go. This is just good to... I like Henry Nouwen, and I don't know if you know him, but he's dead now, but he's cool. As those who are chosen, blessed, broken, and given, we are called to live our lives with a deep inner joy and peace. It is the life of the beloved, lived in a world constantly trying to convince us that the burden is on us to prove that we are worthy of being loved. When we went camping with the Essies, and as you know, at the end of a long day at the beach, etc., like a bottle of red, right? So Dave and Claire invited us around to their place, a beautiful fly, etc. And there was this bottle of red on the table, right? And it's not bright light, right? So it's a bit dim, so you pick the bottle up, and I don't know who opened it. Claire opened it, opened the bottle, poured it out. Grape juice. No, it was like, what was it, fruit juice?
Yeah, apple black currant
juice. Fed, like, from this bottle of wine. It's like, are you serious? And we're all like, did you crack the seal? Did you, like, because, I mean, did they, well, and we were hashing, maybe some teenagers came and they nicked the wine and they filled it up and did the top up and then, it was a complete mystery. I don't know. Dave got it from work, so I don't know if someone at work was trying to send Dave a message or something. I don't know. It's all very, very subtle. But there can be a thing, right? You can look at your life, and I don't know what's going on in your life. People, you can be carrying some pretty heavy stuff going into this year, right? And you can look at this little thing, right? And what we do, this meal that Christians call the Eucharist or Communion. And you can look at this, and you go, it ain't wine. It ain't wine. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, and this is not wine, so that. But what I'm saying is that we can look at what Jesus offers in the grace of God and the light of God, and we just go, it's not enough. It's not enough. You don't understand what's going down for me right now. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's just, yeah, it's in a wine bottle. It's kind of promised God power, yada, yada, but it's not enough. It's just fruit juice. That's all it is. That's how we can think. We go, I've done this before, it doesn't work. I've tried trusting God, it didn't work. But the meal stands and the blood, like the wine is good. Because Jesus says in the next little section with Luke, in Luke, if you got Luke 22 open, right? He says, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. So he's saying, this is a covenant agreement. This is covenant. This is a contract. This is a bound contract. And when you enter into this meal, you enter into a bound contract. And the contract is God wipes you clean. He wipes you clean. There's nothing that you've done that is held against you ever again. You're forgiven completely. You're a new creation. It's all dealt with, all gone. And God just says, I have done it. I've dealt with it. I know you could never live how you were supposed to live, but I've taken your brokenness on me, and now you can be whole. That's what he's saying. And this is my decision. God's saying, this is my decision, and I decide. This is my offering to you, and all you need to do is trust my work. You just need to trust. That's all you need to do. So the wine is good. It's just a matter of trusting him. So I want to invite you. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're carrying this morning, but I want to invite you to step into trusting God in that thing. What would it mean in that thing? And I don't know what yours is, but what would it mean in your thing to trust God? To not be the one carrying it, but to transfer it onto God to carry it. Have you got that thing? All those 17 things? Awesome. Okay. We got a little Guatemalan cross here. It's cool. It's so cool. Joe's back, so it's awesome for Guatemala. It's a Guatemalan cross. What I love about the Guatemalan cross here is that it's so colorful and it's mundane. Right? So can you see the lady? She's carrying fruit and it's just this village city. It's just she's going up to the shops, and yet the cross is bang in the middle of life going up to the shops. Do you see that? God comes into our lives in the going up to the Westfield. That's what he does. He comes right into you this morning. And he says, will you trust me? I've got you. Just give it over. You ready to give it over? Okay. So the way we're going to do this, we've got a gluten-free thing. Basically, the bread's partially broken. It will be more broken, just as we will be more broken. There's the bread and the wine. I invite you to come back and take it together. So take it in groups. What we're going to do is in terms of, or if you want to take it on your own, that's fine as well. Don't feel pressured. If you're new and you're like, actually, I don't know anyone here, and that would be really overwhelming taking communion with someone else, that's fine. It is for people who trust Jesus. So if you're at the point where you go, I don't think I can trust Jesus yet, no problem at all. Don't take it. But if you are at the point where you go, you know, I want to take this step to trusting Jesus and receiving his life, then come and have the meal. After this, we're going to pray and stuff, and then Claire and Lena are just going to lead us into a time of worship as response. So that's kind of where it goes. Okay? So come on up.